in asking about the app. You know, you can get the ACN app if you go to acn.cc. So you can have it with you on the go. You can listen to the American Christian Network wherever you are. Welcome. Those of you guys living in the Lower Valley and listening and tuning in today, and they're between Yakima and Tri-Cities. Of course, we're not going to forget about you in Wenatchee, Moses Lake. What a great group of patriots out there. It was really good to meet you guys the last couple weeks, spent some time with you. But we're here broadcasting out of the Spokane studios in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And there is a lot of news behind the news that we are going to uncover today. Our hope is not in man, though, but it isn't Jesus Christ. We can't end in prayer. We should be in prayer. But we also have to move to action. So prepare your horse for battle. And remember that the battle is the Lord's. All right. Also, don't forget to go over to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. And thumbs up. Give us a like. Let us know that you're out there. And let us know how we're doing. Okay, now let's get into the daily intelligence briefing from the front. International news first. China is dishing out warnings again. Speaking to a small group of reporters in Beijing on Thursday, a high-ranking Chinese official made his warning clear. The United States should not provoke China in the South China Sea without expecting retaliation. China's attempts to claim nearly 1.4 million square miles swath of open ocean are without precedent and probably without legal merit. Well, speaking the Chinese, in this speech, the Chinese people do not want to have war. Yeah, the Chinese people don't want to have war. They said, so we'll be opposed to the U.S. if it stirs up any conflict. So we don't want any war, but we're ready to duke it out with you. So just be ready. Just be on notice. We're ready to fight you. And, of course, this is right when China's getting ready to launch a nuclear submarine, or submarines, plural. Meanwhile, on the other side of the globe, NATO is finalizing its military buildup to counter Russia. And the Chief Justice Stoltenberg in Chief Jens Stoltenberg says, we will discuss how NATO can do more to project stability. Let's do a massive military buildup not seen on this scale since the Cold War, and we're doing it so we can project stability. Let's bring it back over to the United States. Oh, we have more stuff, too. We'll probably cover this Saturday at Radio for Readout. More, we're following Venezuela, and they are basically at the point where they are without rule of law. It is amazing. We'll probably talk about that today with our guest that I know a lot of you are looking forward to. Here in the U.S., Oklahoma City, they've got it going on in Oklahoma. Any doctor who performs an abortion in Oklahoma could be charged with a felony and punished with up to 3 years in prison under a bill that the legislature passed Thursday. Today, the measure is the first of its kind in the nation, according to abortion rights group Center for Reproduction Rights. The bill also would restrict any physician who performs an abortion from obtaining or renewing a license to practice medicine in Oklahoma. That, where are our patriots who claim to go to our state capitals, and why are we not putting this type of legislation forward? So what if it shoots them down? So what if they shoot it down? Let's identify those who want to continue to promote the murdering of children. But they did it. Now, from the lack of discernment and loss of common sense category in your briefing, out of Colorado, a five-year-old girl was suspended from kindergarten on Monday for bringing a gun to Southeast Elementary School. Well, that's the right thing to do, right? Except in this case, it was a bubble gun. You know, the little thing you hold in your hand, battery operated, and it blows bubbles. It's a very popular plastic toy. And they suspended this kindergartner. Now, this goes right back to exactly what they're trying to accomplish, which I have the audio file, the quote of, I'm just drawing a blank. Under the administration, the Obama administration, it's right there. If this is TV, I would just stick my tongue out so you could just read it. But Holder, Eric Holder, thank you, said we have to remind people on a daily basis in a way that that vastly changes their thinking about guns. We have to, he used the word, we have to use propaganda to get this message across. And this is the type of propaganda and reinforcement, or brainwashing rather, correction. It wasn't propaganda, although they do use propaganda. The word he used was brainwashing. We have to really brainwash people about thinking differently about guns in a vastly different way. This is, there's no conspiracy theory here. There's no theory involved. It's factual. It's their own words. And this is how they reinforce it, by making a kindergartner, a five-year-old girl, feel like she did something wrong and shameful, that you can't be here at this place. You're not wanted here because you brought something that resembles a gun, something that blows bubbles. And this is, it's a travesty what's happening. Now, in the American Redoubt, not really part of the news, I guess, the briefing, but there are some events that I want to tell you about that you need to make every effort to try to attend. Now, we've talked about this earlier. We talked about this last week. There's an event tonight, 6:30 p.m. It's going to last a couple of hours. It's titled The Real Agenda Behind the Refugee Crisis. Now, if you remember, last week we interviewed Bill Jasper, or William Jasper, the senior editor of The New American. He is giving a two-hour presentation tonight that will open your eyes. If you're just now looking for information out there, you have not heard him speak, or you have not heard Pastor Shahram Haidian speak, you have not heard Matt Shea or myself talk about these issues. And if this is all new and you're just newly waking up, you need to learn as much as you, even if you have already heard it. If you haven't sat in on this presentation by William Jasper, you need to do that tonight. It's going to be at Center Place on Discovery Place in the Spokane Valley. And we're going to get that posted up on the Facebook page. One thing I did not do is get access to the Patriot Radio Facebook page. So we are going to post that at radiofreeredoubt.com or Radio Free Redoubt Facebook. So you'll have access to it. There's the directions. There's a map. There's the time, location, everything. It's tonight, 6:30 at Center Place. The tickets are only $5. It supports a great cause. The other thing that's coming up this weekend is a movie called Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. This is going to be this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Magic Lantern Theater on Main Street in Spokane. So if you get a chance, you can go to magiclanternspokane.com to get tickets. But this is really an eye-opener about how we are being lied to with the vaccines, the poisons, and the lies about what's being put in it. It's unconscionable what's behind this. And like we talked about before, 1 in 66 children now are damaged, and there's links tying them to, despite what the deniers are saying, the pushers, these drug pushers, the poison pushers are telling you that any link to any type of health-related issue is a lie. But it's the liars that are saying that. There's some things that you need to know about this cover-up It's called Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. Go to magiclanternspokane.com to learn more about getting your tickets. And then there's another event. Heidi Mund. She will be in the Spokane Valley on Sunday. She will be speaking at the Truth in Love Ministries in the Spokane Valley. And then on Monday night, the great folks at the Spokane County Constitutional Republicans are bringing Heidi Mund back in again. Now, Mund, an atheist turned Christian, has gained global notoriety for standing up to Islam's creeping influence in her homeland, Germany. She has stood up to Islam in the churches of Germany and has a ministry of reaching out to Muslims with the truth of Jesus Christ. Heidi and her husband have faced legal and financial hardship because of their boldness in proclaiming Christ. So hear her story. She and her husband, she is a watchman on the wall, warning us of what's coming. They're saying you have to reserve your tickets, though. The tickets are free for that event on Monday night. But there's a limited capacity, so get your those are at Eventbrite. That's another event that we are going. You can just look up Spokane County Constitutional Republicans, or you can go to Radio Free Redoubt's Facebook page. And we're going to have this posted over here. Our faithful assistant, Polly01, is working on that right now. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Are you guys in? I hope so. Now, we're going to bring a guest on here that many of you are already familiar with. This is something there is a demographic shift taking place. There is a demographic group that is strategically relocating to better their lives and plan for a better future. I'm not talking about the issue on our southern border. I'm not talking about the Muslim so-called refugees that are coming to the United States. I'm talking about God-fearing, liberty-loving, patriotic Americans who cherish our heritage, our values, and they are strategically relocating to different conservative pockets throughout the United States. That movement, which we're going to hear from that someone who I really look up to, and he really is the inspiration for me starting Radio Free Redoubt, the inspiration for many people making the decision to take the gap, to move, to strategically relocate, seeing what's happening in our country. That move is called the American Redoubt. And a redoubt is a safe haven, a fallback position, a defensible place where those, you and yours, can gather. And that has just recently come under attack. It's been around for, 5 years, and it's been growing and building momentum, but it's been under the surface. Well, it's starting to get the attention of those on the left, and they're scared. This is scaring the daylights out of them. So, let me get with my producer here. Pat, okay, great. You got cut off there. Okay. Okay, sounds great. So the American Redoubt, we're going to reference this article here in just a little bit. It came out in the Spokesman, and this is not the first article. There's a staunch conservative, grassroots leader, very effective, Brent Regan over in Kootenai County, who received a scathing rebuke for his actions, fighting for liberty, fighting for those values and our heritage, and the things that we care about, pushing back against the liberal anti-American agenda. But now there's another article that came out in the Spokesman Review. So this has been spread to these, if you want to call them newspapers, increasingly left-wing. I remember 20 years ago when people would write in to the Spokesman Review, there was a few, not that many, but in the Coeur d'Alene Press from liberals saying, we can't believe you guys, you're just a bunch of shills for the extreme right-wing group of people, right-wingers. That has shifted. Now, it is completely dominated by an anti-American agenda. So this article, written by Betsy, good old Betsy. Betsy's back. The Redoubt Movement helps push North Idaho politics to the extreme right. Okay, first of all, the Redoubt Movement is not Idaho. It is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Oregon, and Eastern Washington. Already inherently conservative areas. I mean, they are very, well, what the left calls ultra-conservative. But see, ultra-conservative to them means you're centrist. But see, we're not centrist. We're actually to the right of center. Now, let me give you a little lesson here. When we're talking about the political spectrum, all the way to the right is anarchy, no government. All the way to the left is totalitarian communism. It is absolute government control. The founding fathers were to the right of center. In fact, they were, some of them were quite a bit farther to the right of center. And now we have those individuals that are calling those that are centrists the right wing. And if you are to the right of center, you are extreme, if that makes sense. So we are extreme. Now, I'm not sure what the... We're having some difficulty here. Stand by one. Sorry about that, guys. But I have some difficulty getting James Rawls on the line right now. Okay. It's a poor connection, apparently. So they're trying to get a better connection. So in this article, she says, the Idaho's northernmost legislative district, Republican Party politics, has been pulled farther to the right in recent years with the rise of the Tea Party. But now a new element is pushing the party farther still. The arrival of conservative Christian, quote, preppers fleeing more populated states who see the region as a redoubt, a place to settle and defend themselves when the whole country goes bad. Okay, first of all, what if that was the whole story? What if that was the complete message? What's wrong with that? First of all, it's not accurate. But what if it was? My answer is, so what? What if people are moving here? Is it any different than in the, is it any different? I'm distracted here because I'm multitasking. Now, Mrs. Schmidt, she can multitask, but I'm not that much of a multitasker. I'm trying to get a new connection there for him and trying to facilitate that. So hopefully we'll get it worked out. Okay, technology, right? It's a love-hate thing. But this element pushing the party further still to the right, what's wrong with that? When the party has been actually, and this is not even true. The American Redoubt, the conservative, God-fearing, liberty-minded people that are strategically relocating here are just shoring up the numbers because the left is on the march. They are not just saying it's okay for us in the San Francisco Bay Area to go way left wing and godless, and you guys have a conservative culture over there, and this is our culture over here. They will seek out and hunt down anyone who does not embrace their twisted culture. And if you do not, and if you want to move away from that because you don't want your children subjected to that, because you don't want heavy taxes, heavy regulation, an anti-gun agenda, an anti-Bill of Rights all the way across the board, less and less freedom, less liberty, where people want to be self-reliant, somehow that is extreme. Somehow that's a bad thing. And they're targeting it. You know why? Because there is a movement afoot to strengthen the already conservative right wing. And they're not pushing the politics to the right. They're holding their ground and keeping the left from pulling the politics further to the left. So if you put up resistance and refuse to allow them to pull you to the left, then you are the extremist pushing things to the right. At least that's their narrative, and it's a false one. It's a lie. Don't believe it. And we're going to talk about the man who coined the phrase American Redoubt. I believe we've got him on the line. James, you there?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Outstanding. Okay, thank you, sir. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there, but we got through it. And, well, we wouldn't be resilient, self-reliant people if we couldn't work through problems like that anyway, right? So that was a good test.
That's right. And it always pays to have redundant comms.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. If you guys are not familiar with James Wesley Rawls, he is what I consider a mentor of mine. I really look up to. He's an author of a book, Patriots, a novel of the coming collapse. That's his flagship work. And from there, he's written several since then. We'll probably talk about those. He's best known for that book, Patriots. And then also, he's the senior editor over at survivalblog.com. He's also a former Army intelligence officer. And it's just a pleasure to have him on. James, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we were just talking about, just kind of took off without you there, the American Redoubt movement. Before we go any further, I think you're the right person to have defined this before we start allowing those on the left, those that are scared of it, they have a freedom phobia, constitutional phobia. Let us define it for the people that are being lied to by those that are trying to define the American Redoubt movement for us.
Well, sure. In a nutshell, the American Redoubt movement is simply a political migration movement that's intended to consolidate what is already a very conservative region that consists of Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Those states and portions of states were designated as kind of a safe haven for conservative Christians and Jews as a kind of a stronghold, and that's why I use the term redoubt, a place where people will feel comfortable with traditional values.
Well, some people have a problem with these traditional values. They've recoined a new phrase, you know, right-wing extremism. That's synonymous with conservative American heritage and, you know, Judeo-Christian values. They're in the business of redefining our language anyway, so it shouldn't come as any surprise.
Yes, but it hardly comes as a surprise. Basically, everything that Americans have held near and dear for generations, they are trying to systematically destroy. They are chipping away at our moral underpinnings. They are chipping away at our traditions, our language, our borders, our customs, our values. All of that is considered fair game for the statist collectivists, and one of their favorite methods is to redefine the language, redefine terms, and to all in all make that which is good appear evil.
And that which is evil to appear good.
Right.
And if you don't adopt this new good, the old evil, then you're an extremist or intolerant or full of hate.
Right.
And I've never seen a more hateful group of people than the left.
They've basically attempted to cast us all into the same bucket as anti-Semites, as fascists, Nazis, racists, bigots. They want to try to make everyone who represents conservative traditional values look synonymous with the true extremists. We're not extreme at all. What's extreme is what's going on to our culture right now with their attempted destruction of our culture.
Yeah, it is amazing. I talked about this on Tuesday when this article first broke, and if you look into the comments section under the article, that is very telling about how easily the masses are duped, how incapable they are of thinking for themselves, to embracing this the accusatory tone that conservative Christian-minded people that believe in a traditional American values want to congregate together. Is some, they read it off as an indictment, like as if it's a vice, something bad that
and
people want to come here to homeschool.
Just look at the way they've redefined the term patriot and redefined the term constitutionalist. They've turned those both into descriptions of pure evil. And if they will stoop to that level, then virtually no word in the English language is safe.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, we have those that are, I mean, some people, if they knew the truth, they would be furious to realize how they've been lied to. Like by this woman, Betsy. The great Betsy raised her head, wrote this article, and has duped so many people that don't realize it. The rest of them are useful idiots that will go along with anything that's fed to them. But the problem is, this is where we need to really, I guess, strengthen our leaders or potential leaders. For example, there was a gentleman running for, he lost this week in the election, Glenn Rohrer. When interviewed, he starts backpedaling and says, "Oh, I'm not part of the American Redoubt movement." And this is what made me laugh. He says, "I'm a conservative constitutional Republican, and my opponent is not. Oh, I'm not part of the American Redoubt movement." Now, my question is, and this, I started laughing when I read this. I'm like, you are part of the American Redoubt movement if you don't know it. And here's the thing. If you're not, why not? Because the people that are moving here, strategically relocating, prayerfully deciding to uproot their businesses, their families, or their lives, and relocate here for the reasons that we've outlined, they are counting on the leaders here to keep up the fight against this leftist extremism and government supremacy until they get here. They're counting on these guys to be part of the American Redoubt.
Right. And it's noteworthy that his opponent in that race, the incumbent, had been in office for something like 35 years.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, John, but I'm of the opinion that anyone who spends 35 years in political office is more likely than not going to become corrupted, either corrupted by the feeling of being in power or literally being corrupted with money being stuffed into their pockets. And I would say it would even be difficult for Mother Teresa to spend 35 years in a legislative position and not feel some sort of degradation of the hard line on what it means to be a true representative of the people. Once someone has been in office that long, they no longer look at their office as a representative position. They look at it as a power position.
Yeah, that's how her supporters are arguing why she should stay there, because we now have somebody sitting on this committee.
Right?
Pardon?
Because she holds key committee positions in the assembly,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Precisely. That was their argument. We haven't had somebody in that kind of a position from our county before. Why would we let all that go? Because she worked so hard to build our roads. And
oh, boy. Well, I'm glad that there are some people out there who take the high ground and who look at things from the big picture. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Rohr, I think, is the type of candidate that's needed in the American readout. And
yes.
As time goes on, I think there'll be more and more that stand up just like him. And eventually, I think we will see some political change, and some of the entrenched political elites, like the North Idaho PAC, which is a Republican Political Action Committee,
yeah.
are going to find themselves losing ground. Because fighting for political influence based on party politics is passé. It would be like someone trying to fight second or third generation warfare when we're in the fourth generation warfare era.
Yes, absolutely. And to your point about the level of corruption, of course, it deepens each year. And with each run, we pulled Sean Keogh's, the one that we're talking about, has been embedded for so long, deeply entrenched, I should say. Her donors, it's a stack of lobbying organizations that dumped a ton of money to make sure that she could stay in place. And all these lobbyists, these lobbying groups, they're based out of Boise. This is not the same interest as the people in Boundary County, and they've been duped. But here's the problem, and this is what I've been working so hard to overcome. I don't know how to overcome this, except just to lay it at the Lord's feet. We had a voter turnout of 22.6%.
That's pitiful.
In the ultra-conservative, people that care and they love conservative values, 22.6% makes me want to throw my hands in the air and say, you guys get, you deserve exactly what you got coming if you don't care that much.
Yes, if people can't even be bothered to vote, they certainly are not in a position to complain at the results.
Well, many of them, and this is another thing we've tried to overcome, because so many people come here fired up from say, California or Seattle, and they say, you guys don't understand what's coming. It's on its way here. What we just came from, you guys got to get in the fight. But the response is a giant yawn, because you have freedom freeloaders here that are just enjoying the heck out of how free and great it is here, but they don't understand that it is coming or what is coming. But
yes,
they do complain.
If you look at the coastal politics, unfortunately, that's kind of a glimpse of what it's going to be like throughout the inland Northwest in another 10 or 15 years if people don't wake up. Because the same vested interests, the same lobbyists, the same outside political influence by means of campaign donations and PAC money are going to begin to rule just the way they're ruling in Olympia and all up and down the coast. It's just, unfortunately, it's the Californication of the inland Northwest. And the level of political sophistication really needs to be raised so that people are ready for this onslaught, because it is coming. Just look at Michael Bloomberg and his attempt at influence here in the redoubt.
Yeah,
that's money coming from 3,000 miles away, and it's being thrown at state assembly level positions. So beware, folks. There's a move afoot, and unless we organize and unless we're very vigilant, we are going to see our local politics subsumed by national interests.
Another thing, too, is that we have this demographic shift that is strategic in nature, both on the Islamic front and the South Central American front, dissolving our borders, which is what the globalists want anyway. And so they want anyone who wants closed borders to embrace this migration of this demographic group, because they're only trying to better themselves and make choices for their families that they feel is best, and how could you blame them? But when conservative, Christian, American, patriotic people have a strategic demographic shift, they attack it.
Right. They panic, because when they see people vote with their feet, they realize that it will cause a political sea change. And I think that change has already taken place, but it just hasn't fully crystallized.
Yeah.
When I came up with the American Redoubt concept, 5 years ago, it was more or less an automaton, in that it has no outside direction, it has no political action committee. There is no, cabal behind the scenes. It was just one guy, me, my idea that I articulated, and I basically set it in motion. And it's become kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And at this point, there are so many people moving into the region that I think it's unstoppable. And the net result will be a much more libertarian, conservative, and Christian region when all is said and done. And the number of conservatives that are moving in has far more than outstripped the number of liberals that are moving in.
Yeah.
So the war has already been won. The demographic shift is already in place, and it's just a matter now of having that movement crystallize. And it's almost like the Tea Party movement, in that it was amorphous. It was not, very strictly defined. It had no strict leadership. It was just more of a truly grassroots movement. And it's turned into Tea Party committees all over the United States. And I think the same thing will happen with the American Redoubt region. And even though there is no formal political movement, informally, it can't be stopped.
That's right. And that's not to say that's the only place that a conservative Christian patriot can move to. There's also an exodus of people that are moving out of these overrun places and into the Appalachians. And the term the Appalachian Redoubt has taken hold. The Adirondacks, believe it or not, in New York,
large
in that state.
Redoubt-type presence in Tennessee, in eastern Tennessee.
Yes.
In the plateau country there, where there's large numbers of people moving in, and a lot of them are, they're those darn Yankees, but guess what? They're conservative Christian Yankees, and they're actually, once people get to know them, they are very well accepted, because they're recognized as being like-minded.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of folks, I mean, I hear from them all the time, we're praying about this. We feel this strong urge to relocate to the redoubt. We're trying to sell our home and please keep up the fight, because there's nowhere else to go to. And this is what I hear from everyone. And it really is interesting, and I believe you've noted the same thing. How many immigrants came to America saying, you guys are letting what I just fled happen here. You have to fight for American principles because there's nowhere else to go. Well, right. Now America is imploding on itself, and people are coming to the American Redoubt or the Cumberland Plateau or the Appalachian Redoubt saying, you guys better dig in and get ready to fight for what you believe in because there's nowhere else to go. It's shrinking. Now we're down to redoubts.
Yes, and as I've discussed with you on your own show, I'm of the firm opinion that God has withdrawn his covenant blessings on America as a whole. And the best that we can hope for is that his covenantal blessings will continue on a personal level, a family level, a congregational level, and perhaps a regional level. That's the best that we can hope for.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, I think America is under righteous judgment, and we can only expect God's wrath on our nation as a whole.
Well, if the way he handled his people when they rebelled against him in the past is any measure, we have to say that it's imminent.
I would say so. If you look at the abortion issue just by itself, that's reason enough just in and of itself for God's judgment. But if you also look at the shift in American foreign policy regarding Israel, that's another reason that God would withhold his judgment, because the Bible clearly teaches that nations that bless Israel will be blessed and nations that curse Israel will be cursed. And look at the shift in our foreign policy under the Obama administration vis-a-vis Israel. I am a great friend of Israel, and I think that we basically, with this next presidential election, have our last hope of salvaging a pro-Israel policy. But if we continue down the track we're going, we can only expect God's wrath with that regard.
Well, I'm with you on that. On pretty much everything, we're in complete alignment on our views, our expectations of what we can expect in the future, the ramifications of the decisions that our nation has made on all kinds of levels, and it really does come down to the remnant. And also, we also understand that there's no guarantee. It's our hope that he will grant us this, because I don't know what other option there is, which is why I embrace the American Redoubt movement, because when I realized that we're past the point of taking back America, that
yeah,
we continue to lose
you're
ground.
Right, John. It's one reason why I recommend that not only people strategically relocate to the American Redoubt, but that they also keep their passports up to date, because it may come down to that as well. Who knows? All I can say is it's best to keep your options open and be deep in prayer. And one of the ways you keep that option the options open is to have current passports.
Yeah, and that's assuming that there will be a place to go to. I mean, this is almost, I mean, when you see this, this is a global.
Oh, it is a global battle, and there are precious few countries that I would even consider relocating to, because simply put, if you look at all the different factors of what makes a free nation and a nation that's a godly nation worth living in, most nations fail the test. And whether it's taxes, whether it's homeschooling laws, home birth laws, whether it's gun control, so-called gun control, which is actually civilian disarmament,
right.
Whether
yeah.
it's banking privacy, and whether it's a honest and open political system, there's a few countries that fit some of those bills, but very few countries, if any, that would meet all of them. And America really is truly one of the last countries on earth that still has a level of freedom that makes it worth living in and that has any hope of a turnaround. Because the New World Order is here. If you look at all the different treaties that are in place and all the supranational organizations, whether it's the OECD or with NAFTA or GATT or any of all the different treaties that are in place, there are so many signatories to these treaties. Like, people say to me, well, Jim, how about South America? Well, I have news for you. Virtually all of South America is now under the Mercosur Treaty. And that treaty normalizes all of their laws, harmonizes their laws, so that they're all equally oppressed.
It really is. And, I hate to say that my own country I've fought for, I've served, my grandfather came here, leaving Scotland to come to a free country. He would tear up when he talked about how great America is and how much stake they put in America and America's future, to see how quickly things have devolved. It's just mind-boggling. But we live in, I guess we have one of the best lifestyles, and that makes the loss of freedom tolerable. But how much longer can our lifestyle continue this way with the economic situation they've got us placed in that's not sustainable?
Yes, unfortunately, we're even going to see our lifestyles degraded, because what goes along with the whole economic New World Order is the destruction of the middle class. And we're very likely to see some very troubling economic times. The current ongoing recession, the recession that never seems to stop, I think really is a depression. And we've actually been in this depression since about 2001. And we're unfortunately just in the early stages of it. And I think Japan is evidence that a depression can go on for decades. And we're just a bit behind Japan.
Yeah. We just had the financial tools, the economic tools to be able to, artificially inflate things to keep our lifestyle afloat.
Yeah. If it weren't for the fact that the dollar is the world's reserve currency, we would have already seen a collapse in this nation. In fact, we would have already seen a global collapse.
Well, one of the other items in the, we've got, the last 5 minutes or so, one of the things that they seem to set their targets on is the prepper or survivalist or whatever term they want to use, to paint this even subliminal picture of some overweight, frothing at the mouth person sitting on a pile of guns and surrounded by food and waiting for, with our tinfoil hats, waiting for the end of the world to come. But obviously, we know that's a lie. The way they present it is disingenuous. We do believe in being self-reliant. This is scriptural. It is wise. It is just prudent. So,
certainly.
And you place a heavy emphasis on that. So talk to that about the need for being self-reliant and in its proper perspective.
Well, self-reliance is crucial, because in the event of a national crisis, it will only be those who are well-provisioned who are going to be in a position to step in and help out when things fall apart. It will only be those who are not worried about where they're going to get their next meal who are going to have their head up looking at the big picture and who are going to be in a position to speak up and act if they see a degradation of individual liberty. Everyone else is simply going to be worried about feeding their children. So it is, as you said, absolutely prudent for individual families to be well-prepared, well-stocked. It is high time to stock up and team up and train up, because dark days are ahead. And again, it will only be those who are well-prepared who are going to be in a position to make a difference,
Yeah. It is so much easier. This is what I try to place emphasis on. And I really got this, this narrative from you. And that is, don't look at this being self-reliant or prepared or prepper, however you want to term it, as waiting for the end of the world. It's the end of one chapter. And there will always and always has been a recovery, a rebuilding effort afterward. So you can focus on that if you're not watching your children starve. It's to be self-reliant so you can be part of the process, because somebody else already has a plan in mind about what this next chapter is going to look like. If you're starving, you're at the mercy of whatever program they've got up their sleeve.
Right.
And you're not part of the solution.
If you're well-stocked and you're in tight with your neighbors and you have options, that means you're not one of the persons who's going to be forced to get on the train or get on the bus or whatever they're going to call it. You will be someone who has options, someone who is not prepared, someone who is not well provisioned, is going to be at the mercy of their environment. And I think that's what it all comes down to. Either you're the master of your environment or you're at the mercy of your environment.
Well, we're seeing that actually. That's once again, we're not talking theory here. If you just go to the headlines of today and see what those people are living through right now in Venezuela.
Absolutely.
It is a perfect real-world example that you can reach out, see, and touch. And those are real people standing in lines, real people being attacked for walking away with a bag of flour or a thing of toilet paper. That's real. And that's just one example of many. It's just, if you don't have to be standing in that line because you're back at home, because you took the time while you had blessings, while you could store up and stock up,
one of the things that's really important to point out, John, is that saving is different from hoarding. Saving in advance does not create shortages. In fact, by taking food out of the current quite full pipeline that's hitting the grocery store shelves now and setting it aside means that you are going to be one less drain on the system when there is a crisis. So saving now is not hoarding. It's actually helping, because every family that stocks up now represents one less family that's going to be rushing to the supermarket shelves at the 11th hour. So instead of being part of the problem, you're part of the solution.
Verifying.
Absolutely. And you can help people that you feel led to instead of, you can actually.
Right. It puts you in a position where you have options, where you can dispense that food as charity, or if need be, you can barter with that food for other things that you might need. But either way, you're going to end up helping out your neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some really good examples of that. I like how you laid out in your book series, the Patriots book series. And oh, by the way, also that's not the only one. Your most recent book, I've started that about four times, and then it's not because of lack of interest. It's because life just keeps happening. But amazing principles that are just so, I want to say they're wise, they're prudent, and they make common sense. They follow principles of common sense. But see, we're dealing with a culture that's really, degenerate, decadent, and spiritually sick. You can't even expect to make wise, prudent choices and have discernment, But what you're talking about there, I saw several examples, and we just posted your book too on our Facebook page at Radio Free Readout, Facebook, Patriots. That's what really got me and so many people that I know, it flipped that switch on and put preparedness and self-reliance in its proper perspective. And so I want to encourage people to go check that out, but we just got about a minute left. If you could get your website out there, where they can go and learn more about self-reliance and Christian living.
Yes, my website is survivalblog.com. and it's been published for 10 years. It has very deep archives. It's all fully searchable, and it's all fully accessible without any membership fee or anything like that. Again, it's survivalblog.com. And for anybody who's new to preparedness, I would recommend that they look in the left-hand bar. There's a list of static pages. There's one titled Getting Started. There's also a page that's devoted just to the American readout concept in that same left-hand bar.
Yeah, learn about what the American readout is from the source. Don't get it from somebody who's got a left-wing agenda that is scared to death of anything resembling Christian, patriot, anything. Go to the source. Don't be lied to. Don't be duped. All right, James, thank you so much. James Rawls from Survival Blog. It's a great honor to have you on with us. Look forward to doing it again. So just Godspeed to you and everything that you're doing, and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, and God bless you, John, and all your hard work and all the wonderful things you do, both with your own show and when you get involved in helping out people like Matt Shea, filling in for him. God bless you.
Roger that. God bless you. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless all of you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you later on.
Patriot Radio is brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. with the replay from 9 to 10 p.m. across the entire American Christian Network. Is what can one man do alone?